Hello and welcome back to Doc Talk.
In recognition of National Scleroderma Awareness Month, HCP Live spoke with several prominent dermatologists today who addressed some of the concerns and advancements related to the rare multisystem disease. Scleroderma is often referred to as morphea by dermatologists, and it's a condition that typically presents with the tightening and hardening of skin. Depending on the region of the body, it can result in everything from swollen joints to lesions on the face, arms, and midsection. For this episode of Doc Talk, Dr. Curran Lal joins the program once again to speak on different variations of morphea in pediatric patients and the communal approach that is needed to treat the disease among dermatologists and other branches of medicine.
So I treat a lot of patients actually that have scleroderma. Now, scleroderma is a very controversial term. And when we talk about scleroderma in dermatology, we're often referring to localized scleroderma. And so the rheumatologists like saying localized scleroderma, but scleroderma is actually a systemic disease. So it's not just skin disease, it's skin and systemic disease. So in the dermatology world, we actually like using the word morphea. Morphea can be localized, meaning localized to one area, or it can be generalized, or it can be multifocal. So you can have multiple areas. So morphea is basically where you have skin thickening, okay, without systemic signs or systemic disease. So you don't really get the other skin findings. You don't get kidney disease. You don't get lung disease. You don't get esophageal disease. That is more common with scleroderma. But in the dermatology world, we often refer to scleroderma in a localized sense, and that usually, you know, refers to morphea. So morphea is a type of localized scleroderma where you get thickening of the skin, hardening of the skin, and even structures underneath the skin. The most common type of morphea in pediatric patients is localized morphea. And of those, majority of patients have what we call incutus morphea or linear morphea, where in the on the forehead, you get that like a Harry Potter type sign where you get skin, where the skin gets so thick, it actually divots in and you can actually have involvement of your dura mater, your muscle, and even bone. And the reason that's considered very high risk is because it can be associated with issues with the eye, visual disturbances, headaches, seizures, and a lot of stuff in the brain. And so it actually truly ends up being a multi-system disease, to be honest with you. So linear morphea or localized scleroderma to the head and neck, when it's called incutus morphea, is kind of a different subset. But to be honest, again, it's the most common type in kids, believe it or not. So it's very complicated because a lot of these patients are at risk for other autoimmune diseases in the future. And so when patients come in, we work them up. We check a number of laboratory markers to see if they're an autoimmune person, because they can develop mixed connective tissue disease where they have a number of other autoimmune skin diseases that can be in this kind of like nonspecific category. We also end up ordering MRIs of the head and brain to make sure that there's nothing going on with the brain structurally. We also make sure we send them to the eye doctor because we want to make sure that there's no involvement of the eye, right? Because these are serious things. Now, because it's actually a very serious disease for us, it also causes a lot of psychosocial issues because right now you have a kid who has an indent in their forehead. So it's very distressing for people, more so the parents, and it's actually hard to treat. So we actually treat it oftentimes when it's in this area with systemic therapy, typically with systemic steroids that we give intermittently along with long-term medications like methotrexate, which we use all the time in dermatology for a lot of other diseases. And we treat patients until the skin here becomes soft and when it gets burnt out, as we say, and patients are then slowly tapered over 2 years. So this is not like, oh, I'm on this treatment for a couple of months. This is at least 2 years after the disease goes into remission. So it's a long-term disease for patients. We see them all the time. And actually, there's a very high risk of relapse even after stopping treatment. So it actually ends up being a much slower disease process. And that actually, you know, is an interesting area of interest for me because I'm a cosmetic dermatologist. So I actually treat people for their disease. And when their deformity is in remission or they've completed therapy, I then am able to discuss cosmetic options with them and treat them. So I use a lot of soft tissue fillers in this area for patients after treatment to kind of help bring that skin up, to kind of give patients a more normal life and prevent that shadowing that they see, you know? And I had some patients, and believe it or not, beautiful patients. Like, I'm telling you, these are kids that could be models, you know, and they're so distressed by this. And so there is a cosmetic component to this disease, but that is secondary to the medical component of the disease, which is very serious. Believe it or not, there are also patients that can develop disease elsewhere, where patients can get plaques elsewhere on their disease, elsewhere on their body. And often then we have to think about adding other medications or treatments. There are some newer agents that they're using in Europe called abatacept, which are biologic medications to treat this disease, which work very well, but are very hard to get approved here. So in the United States, as per our guidelines, we typically use systemic steroids and methotrexate for treatment. Now, if people have localized scleroderma elsewhere on the body and it's not linear and they're just plaques, we can often treat them with topical steroids, which are easy to do at home. And typically it doesn't require systemic treatment. On the contrary, if patients have this type of linear morphe or linear scleroderma on the leg, it can actually cause atrophy of the leg and they can get a joint contracture. So their limb kind of becomes contracted. And so it affects their ability to walk. And so we send them to orthopedics, physical therapy, because their leg is contorted due to this tissue tightening. And they're also patients that end up being on systemic treatment with steroids and methotrexate because we want to help maintain function of the joints that are involved. And actually, believe it or not, up to 25% of patients of children that have localized morphea can even have joint pain that is not even associated with the morphea. And so it ends up being truly a multi-system disease. It's not what we used to say it as, just being a skin-only disease. So localized scleroderma, we know now, is more of a systemic inflammatory disease. And it requires multidisciplinary care. It's not common, but I'm not going to say I see it, you know, I see it frequently, but I have a bias as a pediatric dermatologist. And it's actually even harder to find a pediatric rheumatologist. There's such a need. So if anything, you know, please push your colleagues to go into pediatric rheumatology because we need more of them. But it truly ends up being, like I said, a disease where I get to know people very well because I'm seeing them for years.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that too, like the push for more pediatric dermatologists, because I think a really common theme with a lot of the conversations that I've been having the past couple of days is that it can present in similar ways to other inflammatory conditions.
So the first thing that people may notice, and this has actually been described in the literature of the past few years, so this is very important to know, that sometimes patients will come in thinking they have a new birthmark. Have you heard about port wine stain?
I have, yeah.
So some patients will come in with a red line here or red patches on their body and they think, oh, these are birthmarks, but they're coming out now. It's not that there's no such thing as an acquired port wine stain. It's very rare. So if you see a new onset red area that's a connective tissue disease color that looks like a port wine stain, you need to biopsy it, because that's probably the sign of morphea to come, an inflammatory morphea. And if you catch it really early, you can really make a big difference and halt the progression of disease and start therapy right away before you get that major bounding down of the skin. So the biggest, you know, pearl I could give is if you see a new onset red patch in the area of linear morphea and or new red patches on the body that you think could be birthmarks, that could be a sign of impending morphea. So that's the biggest, you know, clue or hint I could give to you to look out for.
We'd like to thank Dr. Galal for joining the program again, and thank you so much for listening. If you want more dermatology news, make sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. We'll be back next week with a new episode of Doc Talk. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy.